ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am the host, and I am excited to see you. Actually, I can't see you, but I'm excited that you're here, and I hope that you share this with your friends. I hope you, if you are here, please let other people know about the show and share and like and subscribe and all that good stuff. But to get to the point, today we're having another conversation with Moshe. I certainly look forward to these, and I hope you do too. These are always really impactful, I find, because Moshe and I really connect well and really can dive into topics in a very profound way that is exciting and enlightening and enlivening to me. So today we're embracing something that I have been confronting in my own experience, and that is this idea of making things about me. Recognizing that ultimately it's rarely ever about me. And what I mean by that is there is a tendency, and I was just sharing with Moshe some things that I was observing over the last couple days, that we are once again, as a part of this sort of fear model that I talk about a lot, this fear consciousness, there is this sort of entrainment process that we go through of thinking that we are supposed to believe everything is about us, that we're supposed to believe that other people's choices and other people's decisions have somehow something to do with us. And I have been pretty consistently over the course of my life confronted with this, and it continues to show up because I still have not successfully, completely addressed that making it about me thing. The cool part of it at this stage of the game is that I feel very clear in that understanding. And so now it's the process of the unraveling of that consciousness. And again, I'm coming at this honestly and as transparent as I can, because it's an active process for me. So that's, I'm even more excited to talk about it because there's so many insights and ideas about this. And I'm even more thrilled because Moshe's been an integral part of this conversation. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this. Fun in the big picture way. Maybe not fun in the minutia way. But anyway, so we'll be right back right after this break. We're going to have a talk about my book for a second. Then we're going to bring Moshe out and we'll be good to go. So I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, Fear is a Choice book. That is my book. I am so excited about this book. Released last fall, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. Before I dive in, if you've already purchased my book, I would love to hear your experience with the book, whether you send it to me directly or whether you post those reviews at wherever you bought your book. You can buy the book pretty much anywhere. If you head to my website, fearisachoicebook.com, you can access the links right there, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, the other one that I can't remember right now, Kindle, there it is. I don't know why that one escapes me. You can also see some testimonials and reviews of the book and some video information as well. But this book, just to encapsulate just a quick second here, Fear is a Choice is all about understanding and changing your relationship with fear. That's what this book does. It helps you to understand the evolution and entrainment of the fear consciousness, how it started before you were even cognizant of it, and then how it became part of how you evolved in your own experience. And then you began to pick up the mantle and reinforce that fear-based experience. And so what the book does is helps you to unravel that, the clarity of that, and then to apply your new understanding in your world. So as a way of moving from a fear-based experience to an opportunity-based experience, which means that your focus then becomes from a limited kind of pinpoint focus to a much broader, much more broader perspective that is allowing for much greater potential and experience in your world, because you're now no longer sort of in this very kind of very limited viewpoint. So www.fearisachoicebook.com, check it out. I think you're going to find it pretty awesome. And we'll be right back. All right. My world is good. 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 How is yours? How are you doing with the movement? Are you a part of our movement here? This year of conscious creation. This movement for me is simply that. I simply want us to engage. I just want us each in our own unique worlds to bring this "my world is good" into our sphere of experience and begin to radiate and emanate that goodness and begin to see it in our perception in the world, because that is how our perception is formed. So the movement is about the more of us that can become a part of that, the greater that energy becomes. And as we build the focus and strength of that energy, there is a tipping point where it begins to affect the mass consciousness. And that, when that happens, great and magnificent change begins to happen. And I think we're beginning to see some of that in some of the ways that the world is beginning to change. And you can still see there's sort of this roughy balancing act going on, trying to get purchase. So the more we can engage this movement, the more we put that goodness in the world, my world is good, my world is good, then the perception that is created then has to reflect that at some point. And in setting that clarity and setting that intention, we begin to move our own lives out of whatever state it's in into a state of my world is good. So share it, express it. This is for everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your source of anything is. You're a human being on this planet that's creating your own reality. Create it with my world is good. Add my world is good to your everyday. 10 times when you wake up, right when you come back in your body, just my world is good. Just be in it, revel in it, feel it, speak it, feel it some more. Use it throughout the day. If you find yourself falling out of alignment, if you find yourself being pulled by some circumstance or negative situation, my world is good. Get centered in that experience. My world is good. And watch how it changes you. Watch how it shifts your state in the moment so that you can then engage in a different way, in an expanded way, in a way that the outcome must have some goodness, because that is the energy you're putting into it. So there's no WW on this one. This is join in and become a part of it, because we'd love to have you there. All right, we are going to switch over here and be right back to talk with Moshe. See you in just a second. All right, y'all. Y'all know Moshe. Conversation with Moshe. Moshe is the author of The Amari Wave. Where is it? I know I have it right here. I have it everywhere. The Amari Wave. He's going to talk about this a little bit with you in a little while. But powerful, powerful book. Moshe's message is all about bringing love back into business. So author, business consultant, my friend, and amazing co-host. Welcome back to the show. Hello.
Here we go.
The adventure of a lifetime. So it's rarely about me. Hard to convince me of that at times. as you and I have discussed on numerous occasions.
Yes.
But I think that's the beauty of this this clarity that's coming forth about this. And it's so interesting to me because it's it's really kind of an insidious thing. And it was really disturbing me because there's so many things in my life where, and I know you and I've talked about many of them, where I have an experience and maybe it lingers for a little bit, but rarely does it hold on. Because I get completely connected to, not connected to, I'm not afraid of any of it. So I sit with it, I be with it, and I let it unfold and I can get the clarity from it and move on. And this particular one has just been there and been there and been there. And just when I think I'm good about it, it comes again. In this last circumstance, just rocked my world. And this time, instead of sitting in it for a week or two, I decided to talk about it first. And that was amazing because it really brought to light this, wow, I'm making this all about me. And the choices that the other individual made had absolutely nothing to do with me. And you said something that really kind of rocked my world about that, which was when we recognized it was not about me, but recognizing that, yes, I am having the effect of the choice, meaning the choice had a ramification in my experience, but only because that's where my trigger was. That's where my trigger has been. So that his actions, my friend's action that set me on the course of this was not about me. The decision he made was not about me, but the ramification of that choice affected me because brokenness met brokenness. Boom. And they locked. And as soon as it does, then the habit kicks in. And that's where the challenge lies. So, Marsha, I'd like you to, what anything you'd like to bring into this introduction before we go into our meditation?
This is tough stuff. If we can figure this out, and I say we collectively, mm-hmm. if we can figure this out, it can make life so much easier and so much better because we're not stuck in being at the effect of others. And the nuance that you brought up, Jim, is that even if we're deeply affected by what someone does or says, it still doesn't make it about us.
Right.
So that's the piece I think we need to understand. I hope you'll talk about what you teach in your book, about the emotional guidance system.
Yep.
I think it would be really helpful to pull all this together.
Very cool. Well, good. So there's our foundation, as we always do. Now that we have that out there, we're going to take a minute. We're going to bring some focus to this. I firmly believe the where two or more are gathered situation, that as we align our energies together, we can go deeper, we can go bigger, we can take this to places that we alone would not be able to get to because of your energy and our energy coming together. So Moshe, we'll be back in just a minute with you, and we're going to take a moment to focus. Be right back. All right, guys, let's take a deep breath. We're going to focus all the breath inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. Inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. And I want you to take a big, deep breath right now, wherever you are. And just let yourself become present in this moment, in this experience. Focusing on my voice. As you inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. And just become aware of your breath. Become aware of how you breathe as you're inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. Just become aware of how you sit in your breath. What does it feel like for you? How do you manage it in your system? Is it a top breath? Do you breathe up into the top of your chest? Do you breathe into your back? Do you breathe into your belly? Do you breathe somewhere in between? Do you get an expansive breath when you breathe? Or is it just a up and down breath? Just notice it. There's nothing to do about it. The more you can learn about breath, the more you can learn about managing your energy. We talk about breath because breath is the source. Breath is chi. Breath is prana. Breath is life force. So we, every moment, have the opportunity to receive new energy and to purge old energy, consciously or unconsciously. We tend to do it unconsciously because breath happens. But when we become conscious of breath, everything changes. So inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. As you settle in deeper and deeper into yourself, I want you to focus your awareness into your heart space. As you continue to breathe, feeling and watching that breath inside of you. And now I want you to become aware from that place within your field, in your heart. I want you to become aware of your field, your energy, that all of you that exudes beyond this physical body. And if you just rest into the breath and feel into it, you'll feel it, you'll sense it, you'll experience it. You might see pictures, you may hear music. There, everybody has a different way of the way that you interact with your field. Just find what that is. Be in the moment of that and just be in that experience for a moment. And become aware of this magnificence of you. And let yourself be aware of all of it. And in it, you're going to begin to notice that there are parts and places throughout your field where there's sort of this, there could be little tears, there could be little clumps, they could be big clumps, there could be, when I say clumps, it's more like densification. It's like, if you think of energy kind of this in this little wave, I'm kind of waving my hands. What happens in these places is that the energy is no longer just moving. It's something has impacted it, and now it's sort of densifying is the best word I can say for it. It gets thicker, it gets denser, and so the energy doesn't flow as freely. And those places in your field are consuming parts of your energy. So depending on the things that you're holding on to, those, all of those things you're attending to in your energy. So if you are finding yourself feeling low energy, if you're finding yourself not having a lot of energy, check your field for those spaces that are taking energy from your field in order to support that thing there in your field, whatever it is. Because remember, we're attending to things all the time. So it doesn't matter what it is, just notice it and use breath to help move it out as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And now as you have that awareness, I want you to connect to that energy, that field, and I want you to bring it into your body. I want you to command that field. I want you to pull it into your body. You're like, where am I going to put all that energy? It's energy. Let it fill the heart space. And as it does, feel the warmth and the tingling as you pull that energy into your space. And just become aware now of the inside of your experience. I want you to be conscious of this body and this experience that you're having right here in this moment. Allow that amazing full richness of who you are to penetrate every aspect of you. Let it roam around in your head, behind your eyes. How often do you spend time cruising around in your brain, checking out your brain, tapping into the pituitary, letting yourself explore the fluid that surrounds the brain and seeing all the blood vessels and things that are moving around in there and then tracing it back along the brainstem and looking and experiencing where the brainstem and then that connects into the spine. And then this extraordinary spinal cord that's surrounded in fluid, it's wrapped in bone, protected, this vital life force conductor that just runs up and down your back. And then all the nerves that emanate from that, that feed into and talk to all of the rest of the body. Be aware and go through and experience all of the organs in your body. Just in awareness, you don't have to do anything with them. Just be aware of them. Let them inform your consciousness. Build that relationship. Let it expand out to the arms and the legs. And now we're going to consciously focus that breath with that energy to take you into a different state. So focusing now into the breath, we're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to hold it. And then we're going to exhale to a count of six so that we can purge all of that old energy and air completely, creating a space of receptivity for new energy, for new breath. So thinking of it as this cycle of new and old, bringing constantly happening all day, every day, the opportunity for you to be present in this moment and to absorb all that it has to offer. And taking in that breath now, we're going to begin to inhale to a count of four, inhaling, two, three, four, And then we're going to rest in that fullness and that empty, or that fullness, excuse me, relaxing the neck and the shoulders, feeling that air penetrating every part of your body as you surrender it and purge. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful. And now rest in that emptiness. Rest in that place of void, preparing to receive new air as you engage the lungs and inhale. 2, filling all the way. 3, feeling the expansion. 4, feeling that expanded full self, resting in it, feeling the magnificence of that, and then consciously choosing to release it. Purge. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then rest. Just rest in that space of void, in that space of empty, ready to receive. As you engage the lungs and inhale again, 2, 3, feeling that vital force expanding you. Good, feeling full. And then release and purge. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the most important part here, resting in the space of receptivity, being prepared to receive. As you inhale, I want you to continue this rhythm on your own for a few cycles. Feeling that expansion in 360 degrees, feeling the fullness of that breath, and then relishing it as you rest at the top, feeling that incredible expansion and growth, and then choosing to consciously release it all because you know there's new and more, because you know when you release all of the old, you make room for the new. And we have that moment at the bottom to rest into that space of receptivity, to prepare for that new breath. And here we go, taking that new breath filled with brand new vital energy. It's incredible. You get this opportunity every time you take a breath. And when you're conscious of it, you get every time to build your energy, to build your ability to manage your energy. And now as you continue, take in these words, let them wash over you. Just feel them. Feel the power of who you are. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. Beautiful. Feel that through your entire being. And complete the breath cycle that you're working through. And as you do, I now want you to consciously, as you're focused into the heart and into the breath, I want you to consciously release your field back out beyond the confines of your body and watch this magnificent energy just expand and expand and expand and expand. Be aware of all that you are and how enormous and incredible you are, even though in the end, it's not all about you. Let's bring our awareness back into the space here as we bring Moshe back in. And we begin this amazing conversation. Here we go. Whoops, where is he? There he is.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. So here we are. It's rarely about me. So I wanted to start this, I think, in a funny way, but it's all about me. And I say that because that has been a pretty continuous dialogue that I have been able to observe with this process. As I go into meditation, I have a number of things that I do, but one of the things I do is the Mata Bhavna, which is about loving kindness and about bringing someone into this space of love and just, you know, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be free from suffering. For both of us to release and surrender this. And it always feels amazing. And then not 5 minutes after, and sometimes right in the middle of it, my mind jumps right in and says, yeah, but he really needs to understand what's happened here. He needs to understand what he's done. He needs to get how he's affected me. He needs to understand the importance of this. And I need to be the one to convey this. And it's really about, but it's not really about me. It's about him, but it's about me needing for him to be better and me needing for him to do so. So not suddenly an act that took place that had nothing to do with me has now everything to do with me. And I hope that that little piece there helped you see what I'm talking about and that you all can relate to your experience of that with someone in your life. Because it is the quintessential example of how it happens. It is that minutia that we continue to reinforce in our experience that continues to lead us to believe that it's all about me.
Right.
It's intense. It's really, really intense. Any thoughts on that piece of it?
It is so common, what you just described, where we convince ourselves it's not about me. The other person just needs to change, and I can help them
because I see it.
Yeah. And it's so clear, and it makes so much sense. And there's such a pull, P-U-L-L, to that energy of, I know this, I got this. Yeah. And if they only can grab hold of it, it'll be so helpful to them. And the tricky part is that may be true.
Yes. And that's where the hook is, I think. Yeah. That with any of this, you know, especially with regard to consciousness, you have to be really diligent in even in the context. So there I am sitting in meditation and focusing in this space. And then this stuff starts, well, see, it's really about this because see, here's where because that's my thing. I connect dots. That's what I love to do. Right. So my mind knows that. My mind knows that's my thing. So it starts to go, see, here's this dot. And this dot connects to this dot. And this dot connects to this dot. But what's happening in my energy while that's going on, downward spiral. And the downward spiral doesn't end. It will go on downward spiraling indefinitely to the point that I have allowed that to go to the point of feeling so out of sorts and like crazy depressed because I keep thinking, I know I can heal. I know I can fix this. I know I can fix them. They didn't need to do that to me. Why did they do that to me? I don't do that to people. You know, yeah, right. So it's a fascinating and challenging and humbling. And I don't mean that like in a weird way. I just mean it's so baffling and profound how powerfully this message is in my psyche. And then last night I'm watching a television show. And actually, it's happened a couple times. And I was watching the show. And right in the middle of the show, I went, oh, my God, we're programmed for it. I'm watching it unfold on the TV screen. Two people having a dynamic of relationship. One person does something that supposedly hurt the other person. And now that other person has made it about them. That's how they create drama. It's how they hook us into participation because they look for the emotional connection that will, and it's there because we ultimately always come back to self. You know, I've talked about this before. I talk about it in the book where the essence of the fear consciousness is built. When we're kids with our parents, we don't filter as children. We don't filter. We don't have that capacity. We don't have the rational ability to filter. So all of the experience that we get is we absorb it. And that absorption, part of that is it's about me. And if something happens in that relationship, either between the parents themselves or between me and my parents, the child takes it on. The child says, what is wrong with me?
Right.
That is happening in my world. I'm putting words that they probably don't have, but that's the experience because we came into this experience in a receptive state, in a love state. And when love is absent in that state, we wonder why, because all we know is love. So if love is now if something other than love is invading my orb here, my world, I start to question, what am I doing that's allowing that to happen? And I still do that now. And that's the trap.
Well, and to build on that, what makes it stickier, what makes the trap stickier is that it sounds on one level that what you described is being responsible. Mm-hmm. Like things aren't, I'm not liking how it feels in my world. There's not this love energy. I'm going to fix it. So that at the surface, that sounds like the right thing, mm-hmm. a good thing, or a responsible thing to do. Yeah.
Period. Yeah. It just feels, and the story that the mind wants to tell is all about this, you know, being all about being magnanimous and generous. And we're going to talk a little bit about a process I go through in a little bit later in the show, to help this move along. But we right now, isn't that, holy crow. Okay. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, Moshe, you'll have a couple minutes, again, share about your amazing work as well. And we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Doo-doo.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, guys, thesciencetransformation.com. I would love to work with you. I have a wonderful track record of years of working with hundreds of people with my program, The Science of Transformation, and helping to ultimately change your relationship with fear. That's really what I do. Helping to connect dots, helping to reframe your experience, helping you to break through the inside out. So this is not a process of me layering Band-Aids on your skin. This is a process of me engaging your energy so that you begin to transform from the inside out. And that transformation is all you. My role is in the ability to navigate and support that process and to help you shift where you keep your focus so that you continue to strive out of the fear-based consciousness into the opportunity-based consciousness. It's a profound program that has had tremendous effect for hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with over the years. So www.thesciencetransformation.com. You can find out all kinds of information there. You can click in to set up a call with me, to a free call to kind of let us talk and see if this is something that is in alignment with what you're looking for. And then also offering an introductory package of sessions to get you started. So check it out. And we're now going to shift over here and bring Moshe back in. We'll be right back. All right, we're turning into the Moshe show for a moment here. Have at it.
All right. Well, my work is about putting love to work. And Jim was very helpful in writing my book. It's over there, not in writing it, but in forming it. And the relevance of that to our topic today about it's not about you, it's not about me, is true in business as well, especially for leaders to recognize that the company's success, whether it's a nonprofit, government agency, for-profit, it's not about them. And when they make it about them, when leaders say, it's all about me, whether they express that explicitly or not, when they act and make decisions in accordance with that idea, things go south because the decisions are all about inflating that ego and rather than the higher purpose of the organization. So a lot of what I do is help companies become more humble and leaders recognize it's not about me. And if we put love to work, we'll be better off. That's in a nutshell.
That's a good nutshell. www.theamariwave.com. Check it out. Or you can go to www.moshaengelberg.com. Both places you can go to find out about the book, to learn about working with Moshe and all the incredible work that he's doing. So check him out every time. All right, here we go. Back to this, making it about myself. I was thinking as you were talking a minute ago that the thing that's important to understand here is we have a process, right? We come into this world, we come on this planet, we have an agenda, whatever it is. We're as best as we understand it, we're here in this process of unfolding, and you're hearing us saying, but it's not about me. Let me clarify really particularly. So here we are in this planet co-creating together, right? Because there's 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet, and we're all creating our own worlds. And each of us is helping to create that world via our friendships, via our connections, via all that stuff. The part that's not about us is what others are going through in their process, meaning they are making choices and decisions in their worlds based on what they are attempting to create or what they understand of their own world. Those decisions have nothing to do with me. And what they may have is impact on me, which is where I think the co-creative process is. The co-creative process is, here is this person in my life that has come to significance in some fashion, and something has occurred in their world that has impacted my world. The reason it impacted my world is because I have a trigger in that space. I have something in that space that affects me. So I get to be grateful to this person who apparently hurt me in their action, because it stimulated awareness of my broken, or not my brokenness, but my trigger, the thing that gets me going, that doesn't serve me. So that's when it becomes about me again. It becomes about, oh, I'm having a reaction to this because I'm having a problem. They have their issue. They have their thing. They're dealing with that. I have mine because I'm in reaction to it. Now that, and to that point, this is where the emotional tone scale comes into play. The training is the emotions are important because they help us to define who we have to focus our upset on. The reality is emotions are a tone scale of alignment that let us know how close or how far we are out of alignment to the biggest part, to the greatest part of ourselves, to the part of ourselves that is all love. So how aligned to love am I in any given moment? Well, I had an interaction with this human being that triggered me because their action triggered something in me that was ready to be changed. Do you understand that? It was ready to be changed. So it's in my space so that I can become aware of it in my own energy field, in my own consciousness. And I can go, wow, I'm having this powerful reaction. And the amazing thing is that I've spent literally years looking at the wrong things. I've spent years looking in the wrong direction because I kept getting hooked into it's about me. So I kept getting hooked into, well, I'm a pretty good teacher. I'm a pretty clear guy. I can help fix this, not my job. Do you hear that, people? It's not my job. It's if there is something to happen there, it will happen. It will come together. That will unfold. And it does in many of our relationships. We trigger each other. We work it out. We carry on. We move forward. But sometimes the trigger is a big one. And this for me happens to be a trigger that has been in my life all of my life, all of my life that I can think of. And that it's still here at 56. I go, am I just dense? Like, what is the deal? You know, but this was the aha of it. Oh my gosh. The only problem here ever is that I made it about me. I decided that their action was my fault. And now I have to put blame into the equation. So I know I went on there for a minute, but I'd love your input and thoughts about all of that.
Well, I think it would be helpful to give concrete examples, and I have two in mind. Okay. One is very common and everyday, and can have a big impact. The other is more extreme and uncommon. But I think both will illustrate the points we want to make very well. So let's say, and this will sound familiar, let's say I'm planning, a friend says, hey, you want to go to the beach? I live in San Diego, go to the beach a lot. A friend says, hey, you want to go to the beach this weekend? I say, sure. And he says, okay, I'll get back to you by 10 in the morning so we can make plans for the afternoon. And 10 o'clock rolls around, I don't hear anything, 11, 12, and then I'm texting him and saying, what's going on? I want to go to the beach. And then finally at 12, he said, oh, I made plans with this other person. They really wanted to go to the mountains, so I did that instead. And I'm sitting here saying, that's fucked up. I want to go to the beach. I had planned on it. Now it's 2 hours later. It's kind of late to go. I won't be able to find parking, blah, blah. And I'm making up this whole thing. But I'm angry because I was treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's both the loss of the activity that impacts me and the fact that how can they do that? And they don't, like, he didn't even apologize. So that's not uncommon. It relates to your recent experiences.
Yep.
And it's something we all experience where someone doesn't follow through and they're either not aware or they don't talk about being aware of the consequences of their action. So how can that not be about me? That's example number one. The more extreme one has to do with when there might be rape or murder or assassination or something horrific. I'm thinking when Gandhi was assassinated many years ago. And I wonder if in the moment, if he had an awareness of what was going on, if he thought, this is not about me. And the story goes, the person who assassinated him first came up and made a prayer, put his hands in a prayer pose and acknowledged Gandhi, and then shot him, which is both extraordinary and bizarre. But in situations like that, where a single person is targeted and it appears about them, it's still not their creation, per se.
Yes.
So those are two very different, and one example very extreme, one more mundane but common.
So I love those examples because, especially the Gandhi example, because I did not know that story. And I kind of took my breath away for a moment because that exemplifies it's not about me. That is a complete 100% example of the man came up and honored him before he killed him. But the thing is, what drove him to kill him had nothing to do with Gandhi. It had to do with his problems with whatever the message was or whatever the thoughts were, whatever his thing is. Maybe there is knowledge of that, but that's extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. And it reminded me that the other thing that happens here when we make it about ourselves is we add this layer of crap to the problem, because now what was originally somebody's poorly chosen, potentially choice has now become a multi-layered drama because I'm adding a whole emotional level of context that has nothing to do with the original situation. Because it's all about my story, my drama, my brain, my history, my emotional belief systems, all that stuff. And so now it becomes, there's a cost that becomes because there's an intensity that builds. And that intensity reinforces the need to make it about me. Because now I have to solve me, and now I've created an even bigger problem within me that has nothing to do with the original, which I think is to the point why it took me this long to get it. Because I kept putting all my emotional baggage in front of this concept of it's not about me and getting stuck in all the emotional baggage and not clearing that to go, oh, until this time. And when the only thing that's here is it's not about me. There's no other baggage here. It's just this. Right. Holy crap.
Yes. Yeah. And even in an example, I'll give a personal one. I have a family member who I call the provocateur. He likes fireworks and likes to provoke and often does it with a smile, and it either drives people apart and creates conflict, or occasionally it leads people to laugh and brings them together. And because it has that impact on most people, if we're at a family gathering, it's easy to think that would be the opposite. If everybody reacts in the same way, then it's easy to blame the other person.
Right.
But it's still, it's his doing it for his reasons, or it's still my reaction to what it is, but I'm not causing him to do it. I don't know if that's a very good example. That might muddy the
water. Well, it's a tad more subtle, but not really, because it's still a cause and effect situation. If the entire room is reacting, then everyone has the same trigger, whatever that is. Or everyone has a similar trigger to that particular topic or that particular thing that went on. So, and it's all personal, but it all hits us in the same way. So it doesn't mean that the behavior that the individual is doing is good behavior. It could be bad behavior, and that can be called out.
Yeah.
You know, so if someone is a provocateur for the purpose of being a provocateur, then you can call that out. But if they're being a provocateur and you're still reacting, then it's still them doing them and you reacting to that. Right. It's the point when you, I think you even said it with Gandhi, did he know in advance? The same ideas is if he was at peace, if you're at peace and don't have a trigger there, then you just notice that they're stirring the pot and you can laugh about it and move on. And maybe in a separate conversation say, do you do that on purpose or is that an unconscious behavior?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And just to round out the Gandhi story, the other part of it is he had this sense that he was going to be killed. And so he got his affairs in order the days or weeks before that, knowing, and someday soon, this is going to happen. And apparently it was with total acceptance.
And that gets into all kinds of things about karma and interrelated. I mean, that's just breathtaking. We'll have to explore that more sometime, because yeah, that's just, it just gets better as you tell the story. So we wanted to talk a little bit here in about how to disengage this about me focus. And I think some of the keys to this are what we've been talking about, which is recognizing that when you're triggered is not the time or the place to try to fix somebody else. That would be the point of going, oh, okay. Because what's happening, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to do it anyway because it fits here. And that is, we talked for a minute about blame. This is where I think the blame game and the victim game happens, is this is where it's generated, because I've made it about me and I can't solve it that way, because the thing that created this about meanness is not my problem. My problem is my reaction, not what they did. My problem is the response I had to it, the trigger that I have. And what happens there is now, even though I'm having lovely thoughts about how I can approach this and talk to my friend and resolve this situation, it is coming from a place of blame. Because my entire focus is they're the reason I feel this way. Not I feel this way because I got triggered by something someone else did. Whole different experience.
Yes.
And whole different.
Some of the language around solving it is, or one line of thinking is to basically make it into an I statement, as in, when you do XYZ, I feel sad, frustrated, angry, whatever it is. So it's connecting, in that case, I'm connecting my reaction to their behavior. It's not blaming them, it's making an association.
Well, and that's useful, I think, to just recognize, ultimately, my reaction. Oh, they did that. Okay, that's the end of the equation for now, because I'm in reaction.
Yeah.
So I got to solve this before I can engage with this, because this, if I'm no longer in, like we were talking about, if I'm no longer triggered, then I can just ask a question, or I can just make a statement, or I can just say, hey, that was unnecessary, or what was the point of that, or whatever, because I'm not in an emotional state about what just happened. And that's where this about me thing is so difficult, is that it's so stimulated in deep emotion, because it's been so profoundly reinforced over and over and over again in our lives, but also by our personal choices as a result of that, that this disconnection from the blame game is significant, because as soon as you recognize your reaction, all bets are off. It's no longer about what happened this person. It's about what's happening here. So it sounds contradictory to it's not about me, but when you recognize what they did is not about me, then you can address what your response is and then take it back. So once you clean your own space, I come to it from a place of, I think I told you this is I play the scenarios in win-win situations, meaning I try to have the conversations and I look for those conversations to become a win-win, meaning that as I feel into it, I'm seeing this dialogue happen between us, and in that dialogue, I'm allowing for, as best as I can see it, true communication. So I'm saying, this is my experience. This is what I had happen, blah, 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 blah. And then they're having a response to that. And that response and that dialogue in my head, if it doesn't resolve to a win-win, if I can't get my energy to spin up, then I've not handled it yet. I'm still in blame. I'm still in my about me focus. What they did made me be this way. And I can fix that by fixing them. This is mine, because this is the baggage I'm carrying. It just happens that they did an event. They did a thing that triggered the thing I need to see in my own experience. And if we can if we could separate those two out, it would be so easy to see the difference. And that's what I encourage you guys to do. Even if you can find a small situation in your life where this is occurring, try to pull apart the varying, there is an action that took place. So let's use an example, because this happens a lot between couples. And it actually happened, I mean, even with Michael and I, we have differences of approach for things. And it took me a little time to get used to this, but he would have an approach to something and I would find myself, because I carry my mother in me a lot, apparently, I find myself trying to fix or correct what he's doing. And then it's like, it becomes a thing, right? It becomes uncomfortable because I'm making what he's doing about me. What is what he's doing have anything to do with me? He's doing his life the way he sees his life to be done. And so now what happens is when I catch myself doing that, I call myself out in the moment in front of him. And I'll say, oh, sorry, I let my mom come out again. Or, you know what? It's really not my business or my problem to worry about how you make pancakes. Have fun. Make your own damn pancakes. Because it's that stupid sometimes. And we all know in a relationship, we can get that stupid. We can get that. Why do they do that? Why do they do that way? It's so much easier to do it this way. And so it becomes this, I've even said to Mike on a couple occasions, I'm so sorry. It comes out before I even think about it. Like I'm in the moment with you and something's happening and I want to fix it. You know, and it's like, because I'm making what you're doing about me instead of about you, because you're doing it. And as soon as I can see it, I can stop and go, he can make his pancakes however he wants to. And he's, you know, he's 53 years old, so he's made a few pancakes in his life. It's okay. <You know? laughs> But those are, you know, another way to observe how that happens, really, and how to disengage from it. Calling myself out, being honest about, is my energy going up or my energy going down? If I'm engaging myself to handle this. So at the point that Moshe and I were talking and I got it. I'm making this about me. And I didn't have all the emotional trash sitting around to reinforce something else. The energy opened up. Everything shifted in that moment. It doesn't mean that I've completed this process, because my mind still has generated this loop of experience, right? It comes back to the momentum thing. Event occurs, I react. That creates a momentum in my energy. My mind engages that momentum and begins to feed the momentum from the subconscious with all of the things that I know about that over the course of my lifetime that have brought me pain because of the relationships that I've reacted to and made them about me. And now all of that is running full tilt in my experience. Boom, 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 boom. And And it's gotten so good now that it can tone it in a way that is about me being a teacher, about me being the beneficent person who's going to help them move through this process. And it still feels like shit. It's still a downward spiral. It's not a win-win thing. And so I kind of got lost in my own thing there for a minute. So the point being is you can disengage it, but once you start that momentum, here's the deal with energy. The momentum has to run itself. It has to run itself out. As long as you don't continue to feed it, then it will begin to dissipate because you'll begin to put your energy into a different focus. So you'll be focusing on, okay, this isn't about me. So when this comes up again, you can go, yeah, no, this is not about me. You can quiet down now. It's not about me. And as that momentum dwindles, you'll be more focused specifically into it's not about me. And this other thing will just become light noise in the background. And eventually, I'm assuming it will eventually go away when I give it no more energy.
I think it's not about me will be the title of your next book. That's my book.
Sounds like there's a lot of good information there.
Yes.
I like it.
And another piece that's important is about stories. And you'd mentioned that before about making up stories. So why did that person do that? And we can make up stories and explain why someone did that or made that decision or treated me that way, whatever it is. And it may or may not be true, but fundamentally, it doesn't really matter. Because the person did what they did. And maybe we can explain it or rationalize it or justify it, maybe not. But the only reason we do that really is to pacify ourselves.
Exactly.
And often instead that feeds it.
Right. And that's a really good place to understand something. That point that I talked about, the baggage that comes with it.
Yeah.
That's where that happens when in that moment is really where we have the choice of just realizing it's not about me, or we go into the emotional content and then start to swim in the cesspool of that emotional content and re-energize it. Because it literally is not about me, but my story wants to make it about me. And again, that's releasing the blame game. It's releasing that whole construct of you did something to me. You did something to me. And therefore, as opposed to this action occurred, it triggered me, taking a different approach. It triggered me, which means the trigger is mine, not yours. So if it triggered me, that means I've got something going on that I need to address. Now that becomes about me. That's my stuff. What they did is their stuff. Their action, you know, that's the whole idea of karma or, you know, creating your own reality. It will eventually solve itself. Somewhere along the way, this situation will resolve itself favorably. It may not be this lifetime. It may be, you know, it may be a long ways down the road, or it may resolve quickly. And that's the part of this that I'm kind of excited about, is to see, because what I became clear about at the moment of that understanding about it's not about me, was also the realization that the energy between us was different now. And that difference doesn't feel good. That difference is not, doesn't bring me joy, but it's the reality of where we are right now. And that is not a blame. That's just an observation. The energy is different now. And so I don't know what that means. And since I don't know what that means, it brings me back to the space of just being with this experience without judgment, without fussing, without fighting, and certainly without making it about me. Right. Until we see what unfolds next.
This reminds me, Jim, this reminds me of a fundamental mindset toward life, which is life happens to me. Life happens by me. Life happens through me. Life happens as me. And I learned that from Michael Beckwith. He's a pastor at a big New Age megachurch in Southern California. And I think that's so powerful to just look at, how do we do life? Is it, I'm a victim fundamentally, life happens to me? Is it life happens by me, where that's more narcissistic of I'm in charge, or life happens through me, I'm a channel? And even deeper than that is, life happens as me. And I think the "it's all about me" is clearly life happens to me. It's really a victim mentality. Doesn't serve anybody.
Well said, and a perfect place to bring our show to an end. Once again, we have blown through an hour. Moshe, as always, having you here is a treat and a joy. And I love that we get to do this, because I feel like we do some amazing things together, and it's an extraordinary time for us. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Everybody out there, have an amazing day. We will see you next time on Adventures in Truth Livecast. And until then, find your joy. Talk soon. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.